Everybody, good afternoon and welcome. Today is Wednesday, January 8th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, for our weekly lunch and learn. We took a little bit of a break during the Hanukkah break, but we are back, and we are now going to be studying Parshat Vayechi. We are going to finish Sefer Bereshit today, the book of Genesis. Well, we're not going to finish it today. We're going to finish it this Shabbat, but this will be our last class of this year on Sefer Bereshit. And today, we're going to do something a little different than what we've done before. We are just going to really focus on one pasuk and just do a scan, if you will, of various commentaries of how they've understood this pasuk. So, for those of you who are following along at home, we are going to be where am I here? Hold on one second. We are going to be we are going to be in Perek Memchet, chapter 48, verse 7, Pasuk Zion. Is that Pasuk Zion? Yeah, Pasuk Zion. The Pasuk is actually on the top of the, it's on page 270 in your Chumashim. Perek Memchet, Pasuk Zion, chapter 48, verse 7. The verse is also printed on the top of the source sheet that I gave you. All right, everyone with me? Okay, Memchet, Zion, page 270. So just to give some background here, Yaakov is now in Egypt after being separated from his son. And The Parsha begins, he's been there for 17 years, right? The Parsha begins, Vayechi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim Shiva Esrei Shana. So he's been reunited with his son now for 17 years. And it says, Vayikrivu Yemei Yisrael Lamut. It became, the time approached for Israel, for Jacob to die. Vayikra Levno Yosef. Yaakov makes Yosef promise that he will not bury him in Egypt. I will lie with my fathers, you shall transport me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burial place. And he says, I will do your wish. And that's the end of that first meeting. There's two meetings going on here. First meeting, Yaakov and Yosef. Yaakov makes Yosef promise that he won't bury him in Egypt. Then the Torah tells us that some time passes. It came to pass after these things. So sometime after this first meeting, someone comes and tells Yosef that your father is sick. Vayikach et shnei banav imo et Menashevi et Ephraim. So Yosef takes his two sons with him, Menashe and Ephraim. Vayeged liYaakov vayomer hinei bincha Yosef ba'alecha. And they tell Yaakov that your son Yosef is coming. Vidchazek Yisrael, so Israel exerted himself. Vayeshev al hamita, and he sits up on the bed. Vayomer Yaakov liYosef. I'm now on the top of 270. I'm just going through background.
Okay.
Top of 270, Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Vayomer Yaakov el Yosef el Shaddai nirai lai beluz beretz Canaan vayivarecho ti. He says to Yosef, God appeared to me in Luz, land of Canaan, and he blessed me, and he promised me offspring, etc. V'natati et v'ata shnei v'necha hanolodim lecha be'eretz Mitzrayim ad bu'elecha Mitzrayim alihem Ephraim u'menashek kurim v'shimon yuyuli. This is an important moment. Yaakov tells Yosef that his two children, Yosef's two children, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born in Egypt, are going to be as children to him, meaning they're going to be their own, they're going to be like tribes, right? They're going to be like tribes, okay? And then we get to what we're looking for. Va'ani b'wib padan meta l'Rachel. Yaakov now is speaking. He continues speaking. As for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died on me in the land of Canaan. B'derech be'od kivrat eretz levo Ephrata. V'akrasham b'derech Ephrat hi beit lachem. While there was still a stretch of land to go to Ephrat, and I buried her there on the road to Ephrat, which is beit lachem. And then Vayar Yisrael et b'nei Yosef. Israel, meaning Yaakov, saw Yosef's sons. Vayomer mi ele. And he says, who are they? And that's the pasuk I want to focus on. Because whenever I read that pasuk, it seems to me very, very strange. To review, how long has Yaakov been living in Egypt?
17 years.
We know that these boys were born to Yosef before Yaakov came to Egypt. These boys were born to Yosef before the famine started. The famine was how long?
Couple years or
7 years. And they are 17, it's 17 years. Well, we don't know exactly how long into the famine. These kids are 17, 18, 19 years old. Yaakov's been living in town with them for 17 years. And they're standing with Yosef. And he says, who are they? They're his grandchildren. Right? And he says, who are they? It's a strange pasuk. Vayar Yisrael b'nei Yosef. Hold on 1 second. You know how I know it's a strange pasuk? Because almost all of the commentaries comment on it. And if it wasn't a strange pasuk, they would ignore it. Right? It is a strange. Now they may be good answers, but it's weird. I'll use that language. That you're living in the same town. Well, it's possible. One answer is they weren't living so close together, right? Yosef was living in the capital, and everyone else was living in Goshen, right? Because they tried to remove them away. So they're not living necessarily in the, but they're close enough to visit twice in very short integrals from each other. And it's very strange that you're living in the same city, let's say, as your grandparents, unless you were strange. By the way, it's not that the Torah says he didn't spend a lot of time with them. He didn't recognize them. Mi ele, who are they? So that's very, very strange. So that's what I want to get at. So let's go around the table. Everyone has something to say, as usual. Since everyone has something to say, let's go around the table, and then we'll learn all of your approaches, and then we'll learn some of the approaches on the table. We're going to start with Marilyn.
Okay, he's old. So his eyesight might not be good, or he may have some dementia.
Okay, that's good.
Old.
Right, he is old, and
almost gone.
It could be that. Well, it says it. It says at the beginning of the parsha, "Vayehi Yemei Yaakov, Vayehi Yemei Yaakov, Shnei Chayav, Sheva Shanim, Va'arba'im Umeat Shana." So he is 147 years old. So it's not so old. From the Torah perspective, it's also old. So according to Marilyn, he's old. Maybe he's losing his mind a little bit. Although he does, the dementia part is hard because when he dies, he gathers all of his sons around his bedside. And he gives them all specific brachot. And he recalls what Shimon and Levi did when they tried to kill, when they kill with Dina. So maybe not. I'm just offering you another approach. But it could be, by the way, that it does say explicitly that he didn't have good eyesight. If you look on verse 10, Pasuk Yud, Ve'enei Yisrael kavdu mizoken. Israel's eyes were heavy with age. We're going to go around. But here's the question I would ask you, Marilyn. How'd he recognize Yosef? If he can't recognize
maybe he knew his voice. And he hadn't seen the grandson.
So maybe he recognized his voice. Okay, could be. All right, anybody? We're going in order. No, anything? Of course. That's it. How long have you been married?
Wise choice. 40, almost 40.
Now we know why. Now we know why. Okay. Zach?
It took me a while to learn that.
Real grandparents always ask themselves who they are regarding to their grandchildren. He knows exactly that they are your children. But how they were raised? In the Jewish tradition, we usually say, when your children married and they been raised by you, you want your grandchildren to be Jewish. You don't care already about your children.
Okay.
You really care about your grandchildren. And this
interesting.
This is in parallel. In a Parshat Breshit, when Kodesh Baruch Hu asked Adam when he was hiding, "Where are you?" Is the location that would God would not know
okay.
where Adam is? He asked, "Where are you in your relation with me, with this world?" This is exactly what he wants to know. Do we have door la door? Two boys.
Excellent. Okay.
That is
a great.
In Egypt.
So he wants to know if he's not asking who they are. He's asking really what they are. Right? Are they following in his path?
Right.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, we're gonna get there. Good. Next.
I have a question.
Okay. Yeah, but here they're standing. There's no one else there. It's just Yosef and the two of them.
But instead of saying the names, we start saying the names till it comes to us. Oh, you're definitely
right. That happens. That's true. Okay.
So the same way I would say, if he's my age, comparably, 147.
Right.
Translate to this
here. Good. Okay, so you're suggesting like Marilyn. Maybe he's confused, and so he wants to make sure he's getting it right. Okay, good. Anyone else? Shira? He just couldn't see them. But he recognized Yosef from his voice. Okay. Chana? Right.
I think it says in the Torah, the name Yitzchak Kahu Gaken.
Ken, yes.
So Yitzchak also could not see, and she could. So that's how she succeeded to.
Right. By the way, there's another switcheroo that takes place here, right? In that case, Yitzchak gives Yaakov the blessing of the Bechor, and in here, Yaakov switches his hands. So it's almost like the story is happening again. And okay, excellent. Yes.
I'm thinking he's
asking. There is a light in our tradition.
I think he's asking who are they in form of their parents. Joseph is Jewish. Children go by the mother.
Well, not then.
Maybe he's asking who are they religiously.
Okay, like Zach said. Good. Okay. Excellent.
Yeah, but
yes.
The time,
kids change.
They did not follow that rule.
Right.
He said that, but yeah. He's still asking who are
okay.
They?
Okay. Good. Yes. Next.
I don't know. Kids change fast at that age. Maybe he was just making sure. And I mean, 4 months have gone. You know, before I seen my grandson, it's like, whoa. You know, he's like.
Okay.
He's like changed.
Who knows? Right. We don't know how long time has passed.
They go from a boy to a man.
Maybe some of the kids look alike. All the cousins look alike.
Yeah.
Could be. Okay. Good.
He just might be trying to be polite to ask them who they are so that Joseph, in fact, recognizes these are the two sons that are going to be blessed.
Okay. All right. These are all excellent, excellent answers. Let's look at some of the answers that some of them are similar to what you said. Some of them are different. Let's look at some of the answers mentioned in the classic commentaries. We'll start with Rashi, who offers something very interesting, not at all necessarily what we would expect, but interesting nonetheless. Vayar Yisrael et Bnei Yosef. This is the first entry. on the top of page one, and I have it in English and in Hebrew. And Yosef, Yisrael, saw Joseph's sons, Bikesh Levarcham, V'nistalka Shechina Mimenu. Yaakov started to bless Menashe and Ephraim, or he wanted to bless Menashe and Ephraim, and all of a sudden, he lost his the divine presence, sort of prophecy or Ruach HaKodesh, whatever divine help he was going to have to bless them properly, all of a sudden left, and he felt it. And he felt that it left, meaning he didn't feel that he had the divine help in blessing them. And so then he wants to know what happened that I can't bless them. So he says, Mi Ela, who are they? That's what he says. V'nistalka shechina mimenu, l'fi shatid yiravam ve'achav latzeit me'Ephraim, v'yehu uvanav mi'menashe, v'yomer mi'ele. Then he sees, he gets, I guess, additional Ruach HaKodesh, that these bad people are going to come from Menashe and Ephraim, and then he says, who are these people? I shouldn't be blessing them, because their progeny is going to cause Bnei Yisrael all sorts of problems. So he's not asking, he has some Ruach HaKodesh, some prophecy. So he's not asking physically who they are. This is sort of along the lines of what you said, Zach. He's saying there's something wrong, not with them per se, but with who's going to come from them. And I want to know, and so I'm asking you, I'm saying, who are these people? Like, this doesn't seem like the appropriate people to be the next Shvat, to be the Shvatim, right? To be the tribes of Israel. So he says, Mi Ela, Mehechan Yatsu Elu She'enam Ru'in Levracha. Whence come these who are unfitting for blessing? Where does this come from? Where do they come from? Where does this mishap? What's the source of the mishap? So that's on the one hand, it answers the question. Because Yaakov is not asking who they are. He knows exactly who they are. And that's why he's surprised. Right? He knows that they're Yosef's sons. And he wants to make them the two of the Shvatim. But he has his other problem, which he has in Ruach HaKodesh. And so he's asking about it. Now, it doesn't stop him from including them in the Brachot and making them the Shvatim. But nonetheless, that is how Rashi answers the question. Right. Yes. Right, like Menashe and Ephraim. Correct. The most well known. Yeah. Right. You're right. And it could be that the message is we may know that something bad is going to come from here, but they themselves are good, and we shouldn't judge them on what's going to come from them. This is very good for parents, right? Because sometimes children don't please their parents or don't act in ways that please their parents. And so we're reminded that all the good things that our kids do, we take credit for, but all the bad things that our kids do, well, that's just the way it is. Okay, next. The next approach is from Rav Yosef Kara. He's the second entry on page 1, 1050 to 1130. He should not be confused with Rav Yosef Karo. Yosef Karo is much later, and he's the author of the Shulchan Aruch. This is much earlier. Yosef Kara, France, Germany. Vayomer mi ele. So he says, Al titma eich sha'al mi ele. Don't be surprised that it says that. Which is his way of saying, I'm surprised that it says that. I mean, he wouldn't be writing this comment if the answer was so obvious, but his answer is along the lines of some of you who said, ki diber hakatuv ve'enei Yisrael kavdu mezoken, right? A few psukim later, I said in verse 10, it says, ve'enei Yisrael kavdu mezoken. So he understands it in a very, he just uses the verses, one verse to explain another verse. this strange question, who are they? It's not so strange. He was an old man. He didn't see very well. And so he's asking Yosef who they are. How did he recognize Yosef and not his sons? It could be that he recognized his voice. Although, be careful, because if you start looking from chapter 48, where this story is, Yaakov talks first. So there's no indication that Yosef spoke first, which would have given Yaakov the chance to recognize him by his voice. So that he recognized my voice is not explicit. But another answer could be someone told him that Yosef was coming, right? It says, Vayomer hine bincha Yosef ba elecha. Your son Yosef is coming to you. So then these three people enter the room. One of them is Yosef. And then he says, who are these other two people? So it could be that he didn't even recognize Yosef, but he knew that one of the people in the room was Yosef because he was tipped off in advance that Yosef was coming to him. But there's no indication that Yosef spoke first. In fact, it's explicit that Yaakov spoke first in verse 3. Vayomer Yaakov el Yosef. Yaakov said to Yosef. Okay, but that's a very straightforward answer. Next comes the Rashbam, 1085 to 1174. We're going here in chronological order from France. Vayar Yisrael, af al pi shekatuv lefanenu, lo yuchal lirot, yesh ro'ot dimut adam, ve'eno makir dimut panav. So this helps us understand the second part of the question. Even though below it is written that he could not see, it is possible to see a person's shape without recognizing the features of his face. So he recognized Yosef maybe just from how tall he was or from his stature. He wasn't able to recognize Yosef's face, but he knew, he had a general sense of that was Yosef, but he had less familiarity with his grandchildren, and so he didn't recognize them. Because the Rashbam is dealing with a little bit of a different question, which is the question I asked. How is it possible that he recognized Yosef but didn't recognize the grandchildren? Or how is it that he didn't recognize the grandchildren and recognize Yosef? So the Rashbam is saying, well, he basically recognized Yosef's Vayar Yisrael et bnei Yosef Vayomer mi Elek. He saw Yosef, but he also saw the brothers, but he didn't fully know who they were. Okay, that is the Rashbam. Now we get to the last two, which I think are the most interesting. This is from the Or HaChaim. We're jumping now about 500 years to Morocco or Israel, the Or HaChaim. Top of page 2. Vayar Yisrael, Kasheh, V'halo Yud Zayin Shana Hayu Yoshim Lefaneinu L'lmod Torah Ve'ech Shoel Aleihem. It is difficult to understand how Yaakov failed to recognize grandsons whom he had tutored for 17 years on a regular and frequent basis, based on the Midrashim, that there was yeshiva. But even if you don't want to use those Midrashim, the fact of the matter is, it's indisputable that they were living in the same place for 17 years. How is it possible they didn't know him? V'rabotenu zichronam levracha amru ki ra'a behem re'ayas sichlit sh'atid latzeit mehem rishayim. Tanchuma on our portion, this is where Rashi gets it from, explains that Yaakov saw with his mental eye, meaning his spiritual eye, that in the future some evil people will come from Menashe. V'zed derech drash. This is homiletics. That's not pshat. That's not the straightforward reading of the verse, but he's telling us what the Midrash says, which we already know from Rashi. But then he wants to explain the pasuk on its more straightforward way. V'tzarich lefaresh hakatuv kifi pshuto. We need to be able to explain the plain meaning of the verse also. V'hu ki gila lanu hakatuv sheYaakov kavdu einav mizoken. And this is why the Torah reveals here that Jacob's eyesight had begun to fail him. Shelo haya yachol lirot lahakir, so that he could not see clearly and recognize people. V'latzad ze hagam shera'a bet b'nei adam omdim lefanav. Hence, although Jacob was aware that in addition to Yosef, with whom he was speaking, two other human beings were standing in front of him, levad mi Yosef she'imo, hayam edaber ve'ikiro litzad sho'diuhu she'amru lo hinei bincha Yosef. As I said before, he knew it was Yosef because he had been told beforehand that Yosef was coming to visit him. Kamor lemala lemala. V'habanim lo hikiram lazeh. Shaul sha'al aleihem mi ele mi ele. So he did not recognize Yosef's sons, and he said, who are they? That's, again, a very straightforward reading, not because he was, his eyesight wasn't great. He also didn't even recognize Yosef. Since he was tipped off that Yosef was coming, he talked to him and asked who the other two people were. And then he offers another interpretation. This is very beautiful. Ode, third line from the bottom in Hebrew, fourth line in that middle paragraph on page 2 in English. Ode efshar shenet kaven Yaakov le'orer ahavat ha'av al haben. It is also possible that Yaakov wanted to arouse feelings of love in the heart of the children's father. Kodem sheyivarchem, before he blessed them. Kedei shetihyeh habracha b'tigvoret ha'ava v'hachiba. So that the blessing will be enhanced because it will come from, there'll be more love in the room. V'lazeh sha'al mi'ele. So that's why he asked, who are they? Kedei sheyishma mipi b'no ha'chaviv eitzlo lomar banayhem v'yahamu me'av lahem. He will hear his own son saying, oh, these are my children, right? I'm so proud of them. I love them, right? So Yaakov is trying to get Yosef to speak in that way about his children so that the bracha that he gives will come with a sort of an abundance of love in the place. And he says there's a secret here, maybe a Kabbalistic thing going on here. So by asking me, Ela, Jacob was sure he would elicit the response of a proud father, someone who loved his children, which would increase the love. So, I mean, it's the same thing when you know, people come to see you, your grandchildren come to see you, you ask your parents, how the kid's doing, how are they, right? You may know, but you also want to hear the parents talk about them, you want to hear the parents shep a little nachas from their parents, from their children. And so you ask them about them, even though maybe you could ask the kids your kids directly, the grandkids directly. And so that's what Yaakov is doing here. He's trying to increase feelings of love between Yosef and his children. So that's a very nice move, right? A very nice effort by Yaakov. And we should understand why Yaakov is really concerned about this, right? Because Yaakov has already lived through a situation where he knows from his grandfather and his father that there was not equal love between all the children. Right, Avraham sent one away, and Yitzchak sent one away, and even his own family at the beginning there was a big problem with Yosef. Right, so it could be that Yaakov has a real vested interest here in making sure that Yosef does not make that same mistake, right? That Yosef loves both of his children, and so he asks him about them. Okay, that's the answer offered by the Or HaChaim, Rabbi Chaim ben Attar. Okay, finally, we come to the Malbim. Rabbi Meir Leibush, Weiser, 1809 to 1879, Russia and Romania. And he offers a fascinating answer. Vayar Yisrael. So Israel saw, meaning he saw Yosef, and he says, who are these other two people? Malbushe ha'ivrim hayu mishunim mibalbushe ha'mitzrim. The Jews in Egypt, says the Malbim, dressed differently than the Egyptians. I'm not sure where he knows this from. But there is a midrash, famous midrash, where the midrash says that when the Jews were in Egypt, loshinu et shemam, loshinu et lishonam, loshinu et malbusham. They didn't change their language; they continued speaking their language. They didn't change their names; they kept using Hebrew names, and they didn't change their dress. Right? They maintained their unique dress. Okay? So, yeah.
I just want to make a comment. You know, from Egyptians, No, just, you know, some painting that survived and didn't actually discover these radiological x-rays, that Semites in Egypt were dressing exactly
like differently.
Yes, differently. And also the profession that they follow, because they still
right.
shepherds. Also impacted.
Okay. So we have midrashic proof and archaeological proof.
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. Excellent. Here we go. So, Malbushei ha'Evrim hayu mishunim mi'malbushei ha'Mitrim. V'Yosef sheya karov l'malchut, Yosef, who was close to the monarchy. Karov l'malchut, by the way, is a halachic term which allows people to act in, allows Jews who are in important positions to dress like the Gentiles, etc., because even though, generally speaking, one's not allowed to do that, people who are in certain positions and could have a positive effect on policies of the government towards the Jews have certain leniencies built in. So karov l'malchut is a halachic term. V'yosef shia karov l'malchut. V'chein banav hayu lo shim kimalbushei sarei mitrayim. Yosef and his children dressed like Egyptians. Ukemosha katuv shel Beit Rabban Gamliel hayu mishanim mahalachtan mishum kavod malchut. The Gemara talks about the house of Rabban Gamliel acting in a similar fashion. Va'alkein tama Yaakov va'amar li'ele mi'ele. So Yaakov's looking at them and says, "Who are these people? They can't be my grandchildren because they're not dressed like Jews. So who are these people?"
No black hair.
Right? I understand that you, Yosef, are maybe saying, I understand that you, Yosef, are dressed a certain way, but who are these kids? They don't look like the rest of my grandchildren. Who are they? Vayomer Yosef, Banayhem. Yosef says, they're my children. And the Malbim understands that Banayhem doesn't only mean that they're my children. It means something else, which is what you said, Zach. Vehem tzadikim v'yirei Hashem. They are pious and God-fearing. Just because they're dressed differently, there's a good reason why they're dressed differently. Because of my job, and they probably, you know, they live with me, and this is me editorializing, so they have to dress the part also, right? But don't make a mistake about what's on their inside. Tzadikim v'yirei Hashem. They are pious and God-fearing. Umasha taroeh otam mishunim b'malbusheihem. And the fact that you see them dressed differently than the rest of the Jews, b'pnei asher natan li elokim bazeh. What does he say? What does Yosef answer to them? If you're going to look back on verse 8, vayar Yisrael et b'nei Yosef vayomer mi'ele. Yosef, Israel saw Yosef's son and said, "Who are these?" Verse 9, vayomer Yosef el aviv banayhem. He said, "They are my sons." Asher natan li elokim bazeh. Who God gave me here. That's strange. He could have ended the sentence with,
"They're my sons."
Elohim, they're my sons that God gave me. He doesn't have to add the bazeh. What does the bazeh add? So the Malbim says, this is what the bazeh adds. Asher natan le'elokim bazeh, shenoldu bazeh hamakom, v'hamakom v'hamatzav mechayev zot. They're dressed like this because God gave them to me here in this current situation, and that's why they're dressed like this. Meaning, had they been dressed like anyone else, he may have just said, Ashenatan le'elokim. But he's trying to explain to his father why they're dressed differently. They're dressed differently because God gave them to me in this unique situation. I'm the second highest official in the land, and I have to dress a certain way, and my family has to dress a certain way. So there's a good reason, Dad. There's a good reason why they're dressed not like the rest of the Jews, because God gave me Asher Natan Li Elokim Bazeh. So this explanation is very nice on two levels. It gives us a very clear understanding of why Yaakov would ask the question. And it also helps us understand a difficult thing in terms of the Parshanut. This extra word Bazeh does not seem to make sense, but according to the Malbim, it actually works. It works very well. Rashi has his own explanation about what bazeh means, but this one is actually, I think, particularly powerful. And the point, and the third point here is that he's saying the clothes don't necessarily reflect
on
the person, right? These people, they're dressed, he's dressed like the Gentile, but they are in fact tzaddikim v'yirei Hashem. Yeah. Yeah.
They constantly smear themselves with the smell, and they don't mention anything.
Interesting.
It doesn't mean that an older person cannot smell. He loses his eyesight.
Yeah.
He loses his taste for food.
Right.
Hearing, but he's still, but he's hearing, of course. but he doesn't lose his smell. They don't relate to it.
I mean, I think, I guess... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting question. I don't know how often human beings use their sense of smell to identify people.
Oh yeah.
I think that's it's I think that's rare, but that
also,
I don't know.
That also goes in your old age.
That also goes in old age, right? Right. So you see, this is what I meant earlier when I started out by saying that this is a strange pasuk, because we saw 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Commentaries on it, plus all the ones you had, and there are others which I did not bring. But you can see just from a short pasuk, we had the Rashi, who has a very homiletic approach about the bad people that had come from him, which raises very interesting issues about how we judge people. We can't do this, but it's an interesting thought to think of how we judge people if we would know who would come from them. And according to Rashi, Yaakov is startled and hesitates because he knows who's going to come from Menashe and Ephraim.
I have a question.
And on the other hand, you have this notion of asking someone about someone in a way that's going to bring out a positive conversation about them, right? We sometimes are hesitant, and I think this is an important hesitancy, to ask someone about someone, because we're concerned that they're going to start talking badly about them, right? How is so-and-so? Oh, that person is such a so-and-so and a such-and-such, right? And so we're told maybe it's even better not to go down that road. But here, when it comes to children, right, Yaakov specifically asks Yosef, who are they? And the expectation that Yosef is going to elevate them through speech and talk about how wonderful they are. And this notion at the end by the Malbim, that wraps everything up into a very neat package, but also teaches us a lesson about not judging a book by its cover or a person by their clothing, about their righteousness and their piety. And this other notion of the word bazeh, right? Why the word bazeh is there doesn't seem to make sense, but the Malbim offers us a beautiful explanation of it.
Okay.
Yes.
My question is, if he indeed had a foreshadowing of evil that would come from these two boys, why would he go ahead and bless them anyway?
Well, that's the point. That's the point, is that even though he has this hesitation and pause, but nonetheless, he goes ahead and he makes them part of the tribe. He doesn't bless them 100%. As much as he says they're going to be like Reuven and Shimon, which is, I guess, somewhat of a blessing. But yeah, he overcomes that and says they're worthy.
Then why do we have the blessing for sons of like Ephraim and Manasseh if we didn't?
Right, for the same reason.
You know,
yeah.
Not so terrific.
What I would like to is that she has, and by the way, thank you for this very interesting discussion.
Thank you.
Because it's the first time we can see in Abraham's family, you do have a relation which explores grandparents towards their grandchildren.
I have a perfect grandchildren.
You don't have it with Abraham. You don't have it with Ethan. It's the first
right.
time we see that. Actually, listen to the what we like to see in our grandchildren, and this is why I pointed out in the Jewish tradition to say, you don't think that to make Jewish your children, you have to think about your, when you raise your kids, you have to think about your grandchildren. Which is
I think if you raise your kids right, you hope they'll raise their children right.
Exactly. But
so you're raising your children, not your grandchildren.
But this three-generational relation actually showed it. Nothing was shown before. And actually, you find very rare that in a common relation between, or even discussion about grandparents and grandchildren.
I think it's very interesting you mentioned that, because I will tell you, Rabbi Soloveitchik has an article about Yaakov that he calls the first Jewish grandfather.
Yep, excellent. This was exactly what I wanted
to
say.
I'll see if I could find it for you. But thank you for that. All right, everybody, have a wonderful day.